Liverpool Miss, written by Helen Forrester and read by Leanne Rose Bunce.
Chapter 1. It had begun to rain and I was shivering as I manoeuvred the squeaking chariot over the road to the corner of Castle Street. Avril was red in the face with rage. She stormed at me because I would not take her out of the pram and let her walk amid the busy lunchtime crowd. At the other end of the pram, beneath the leaking hood, baby Edward grizzled miserably for the same reason. Since the October day was too cold for us to walk in the park, I had brought them into the city, thinking it would be more sheltered and that we could amuse ourselves looking in the shop windows. And now we had wandered into the business district. Pretty secretaries rushing back from lunch and smart businessmen carrying umbrellas and briefcases glanced impatiently at the intruding pram, with two grubby urchins in noisy protest. It belonged away in the slums, like the tatterdemalion who pushed it. I did not care. I was resigned to people staring at my long, wind-chapped bare legs, at my toes sticking out through a pair of old plimsolls, at an outgrown gym slip worn without a blouse, a ragged cardigan covering part of my nakedness. Through the increased rain, I pushed the pram dreamily amongst them. In my mind, I was not walking in black, depressing Liverpool. I was in the countryside, and then in the fine old southern town from which I'd been unceremoniously plucked 2 years before. It was market day, and Father and I were looking at the horses brought in for sale. As we moved about, the ploughmen, the shepherds, and the farmers would touch their forelocks to the distinguished-looking gentleman, strolling around with a little daughter in a uniform of a good private school.
"Echo! Liverpool Echo! Read all about it!"
shouted a man in a cloth cap, thrusting a paper towards the hurrying throng. I blinked and hurriedly swerved to avoid them. Would we always have to stay in Liverpool? I wondered depressedly. Would we always be cold and hungry?
"Oh, shut up, Avril!"
I scolded crossly, and stopped the pram while I tucked an old overcoat round baby Edward's knees, and then pushed the edges of it up over her lap.
"Look, love, see up there, on the top of the town hall. There's Minerva. She's looking at you."
Avril turned her woebegone face upwards towards the dome I'd pointed out.
"See," I said, "she's smiling at you. Hasn't she got a lovely golden face? But I think she's got smuts on her nose, just like you."
I touched Avril's damp little nose with a playful finger, and she sniffed and stopped crying. Baby Edward could not see what I'd pointed out, but when I touched his nose and laughed at him, he saw hope of a game and tried to reach forward to touch my hooked nose. Tiny fingers grasped at my horn-rimmed glasses. I backed away hastily before they fell off. Laughing at each other, we continued along the street. Many people thought that it was Britannia who sat looking down at Liverpool, but Father had told me it was Minerva, the goddess of wisdom, invention, and handicrafts. He assured me that she also took care of dramatic poets and actors. There were plenty of craftsmen in Liverpool of whom she might have been proud, even some actors and a poet or two, but most of them queued at the labour exchanges, their abilities unused. They stood idly round the dock gates, where ships lay in every stage of decay. They hung around outside the gaily lit public houses. Her sailors, skilled men, sat hungry in their cold kitchens, while their despairing wives nagged and their children went barefoot. Among the defeated men in the queues at the labour exchange, Father had stood for over 2 years. Ruined by the Depression and, in part, by his own extravagances, he had brought us back to his native city in the hope of finding work.